Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 21, we were talking about the spiritual application of verse 2 and David's men being clean. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Blooms.
There is a spiritual application for us today as well. That's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 4, 5, and 7. There we read that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, that is your body, in sanctification and honor. Sanctification being set apart unto God for sacred use and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, that is, personal desire, even as the Gentiles which know not God. And the personal desire here, of course, is fleshly, carnal desires. You don't possess your bodies living carnally and then say, oh, this is liberty. That is an abomination. Romans chapter 3 says, let us do evil that good may come of. Paul said, boy, he hated that. I mean, he just hated. Anybody would say that. Their condemnation was just to say something like that. Now, verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians 4 says, for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. If you're saved, you have that very specific call of God, and that call is unto holiness. These men needed to be clean. And what a picture. As we go to God's house, and we go about in our daily life, we need to seek to be holy and acceptable unto God. So here we see ritual in giving these young men the bread, giving way to moral duty. Now, we shake our heads in disgust at times with that which is loose, lax, and licentious in today's world. We see couples living together without marriage. People who have been married, now divorced, think, well, you know, since I've already been married one time, it's all right for me to be sexually active, as if now it's no longer vile and repulsive to God. We go to the malls and we see young adults and teens. Their bodies are pierced and their tongues and their hair, all kind of funny colors. And as I was telling our people the other day, sometimes I sit in the mall and I think of manna. What is it? And sometimes I get to thinking about that. What is that? I see it, but what is it? God has to tell me, well, they're souls for whom I died. You know, you say, what if somebody comes in your church and they have that purple hair and all these crazy things about them? Their face looks like they fell into a tackle box. What do you do about that? Oh, you let them come in and sit down and you preach the gospel to them. See, where it stops is here. They don't sing in your choir. They don't teach your Sunday school classes. They don't come up on your platform around your pulpit and lead music, rock and roll, or anything else like that. No, no, no. You bring them in to preach the gospel. We want them to come in as they are, but we don't want them to leave the way they were. We want them changed by the glory of God. Now, if we weren't giving out the bread of life, that these very one whose sins disgust us, they won't get saved. And so if we won't give the bread of life to those folks, then our religion's only ceremonial. It's only ritual. And it's not a living faith. It should be burned in our heart to be a witness, and to offer these people the bread of life. David would one day write in Psalms 37:25, I have been young, now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, I find that lately when people send me a card on my birthdays, that's what they put in as one of their text verses for me. But when we begin to walk in the flesh and take our eyes off the straight and narrow path, we will be just like Peter, who began to sink when he was walking on the water. David's shifting focus brings him to begging bread. You see, God doesn't forsake the righteous, but many times those righteous people forsake God and they remove his hand of provision. Now, David's shifting focus is going to cost him and others, and it's going to be a tremendous price. Look at verse 7. Now, a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. My friend, Romans 6:23 is very clear. The wages of sin is death. Sin brings regret when its wages are paid. The temporary relief of bread was not worth the cost. Moses forsook the pleasures of Egypt for a season, because he knew that there were great treasures, great pleasures, great joy, throughout eternity at the Father's right hand. Well, David, as many of us are, when we choose these wrong actions, and especially when we know what's wrong, when you know something's wrong, it's not only sin, it is a transgression in God's sight. And David is not able to see the consequence of the sin. When you hear people say, well, that's not so bad, you're making too much out of it. You just have a blind eye to the world we live in today. Well, all I can say is they have a blinded eye to the wages of sin. So often, we've let our children do things that we said, well, it's not that bad. It won't hurt. But 20 years later, because we've removed the foundations, the world has become their lord. They are enslaved to sin. God is not their focus. They do not drink at his fountain. Let's see where David's shifted focus leads him. In chapter 22, verses 8 through 10, it says that all of you, this is Saul speaking, have conspired against me. And there is none that showeth me that my son, speaking of Jonathan, hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Jump down to verse 15. He says, did I then begin to inquire of God for him? This is Ahimelech now, as Saul comes to him to call him to an account. He says, did I begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me, and Ahimelech didn't. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more, and that is the truth. Verses 18 through 22, listen to them. He says, and the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned
And he fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priest, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women and children and sucklings and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Well, Saul goes in, and they not only killed the 85 priests, they killed men, women, and children there in that town. David's shifted focus occasioned the death of all these people. Now, that blood's on Saul's hand, but it would have never happened if David had not lied in verse 2. Turning to the arm of flesh instead of unto the Lord. Your Christian dad, Christian mom, you get away from God, and it may occasion the eternity of your sons, your daughters, your grandsons, granddaughters in hell. My friend, sin has a wage. David found that out. He probably thought, it's just a white lie. It's not that bad. The year was 1982, and I was pastoring the first church that I was called to pastor, and talked with a man who was dying of cancer, just a dear man. He loved God. One time he had been a deacon. But then something happened at church. He got upset. He left. And his sons grew up outside of church. And this old gentleman, his sons were just not in church. And as I met them, I thought, they're probably not saved. And I don't think they were. But he told me this. He says, you know, I wish I could have my health back and sit down with my sons, tell them why I was so wrong, and then led them in the way of righteousness. Oh, I'd just like 6 months of good health so I could be with them daily and try to influence them. But friend, just like David.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.